From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Info warriors, resistance fighters out on the battlefield of ideas. This is the Alex Jones Show, and I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Alex is out sick today, so I'll be sitting in for the first hour, probably taking some of your calls later, and hopefully Alex will be back in the hot seat tomorrow, and the second hour of today's show will be a rebroadcast of recent interviews. Firstly, we're going to update you on the latest situation with what's happening in the oil-rich country of Libya, over which the United States, the UK and the United Nations have suddenly developed collective consciences for, quote, humanitarian suffering. And as I wrote last week in an article entitled US Special Forces Arrive in Libya, in which it was also detailed how British Special Forces had arrived in Benghazi, the stage for a coup d'etat on Gaddafi is now being carefully set. And we've got this story out of Sky News today. Eight SAS soldiers have been detained by rebels in Libya, according to Sky News sources. Rebel sources told Sky that the group are being held in Libya's second city in Benghazi. According to the sources, a British diplomat who was with the unit is now negotiating for their release. The rebels say the soldiers are being well treated and the issue will soon be resolved. The Ministry of Defence and the Foreign Office have neither confirmed or denied the reports. Now, of course, last week we had one of the rebel leaders saying that foreign intervention would not be welcome, but then a day later calling for the aid of UN-led humanitarian airstrikes. And it appears that the capture of these SAS soldiers is about the rebels' interim council attempting to achieve some kind of diplomatic recognition, which would aid them, of course, in overthrowing Gaddafi and increasing pressure on the UN to impose sanctions on his regime. But this SAS intervention, which we picked up on after it had been reported by the Pakistani Observer that special forces had indeed landed on February 22nd and 23rd last month, has stoked anger among some of the rebels because they fear that Gaddafi will use it as propaganda to cite Western foreign military involvement, as a propaganda tool with which to rally patriotic fervour. And certainly, if we look at the attempted Iranian revolution last year, one of the primary reasons behind its failure was Ahmadinejad's ability to point to the fact that the US government had used the MEK and Jundullah, which of course, as our readers will know, is an Al-Qaeda-linked terror group. That's right, the CIA has been graciously bankrolling them to overthrow the Iranians, to destabilize Iran in preparation for these student protests which happened last year. And by citing Western intervention, Ahmadinejad was able to rally the poorer segments of the population around this patriotic fervor and thereby derail the momentum of the younger revolutionaries. So you could certainly see similar consequences unfolding in Libya. But the fact is, our report from last week is now confirmed. British SAS soldiers, of course, famous for their shenanigans in joyriding around Iraqi tribal areas with fake wigs and Arab headdress, guns and explosives, as they were caught doing, have now been identified and caught and are there on the ground in Libya trying to support the rebels, whether the rebels want that support or not. Of course, just like in America for the past week or more, in the UK, there's been a phony debate about whether we should get behind sending in troops for, quote, you know, humanitarian assistance. Nothing, of course, to do with the fact that Libya holds the largest oil reserves in the whole of Africa. Pure coincidence. But the SAS, the special forces, are now going in for humanitarian aid. We'll be back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're back on The Alex Jones Show Sunday edition. So we've got confirmation that British SAS troops are now in Libya. We've had some kind of phony debate in Britain over the past 2 weeks about whether we should send in troops. They've already been there for 2 weeks. And of course, if British SAS troops are there, then you know it's virtually guaranteed that American special forces are also on the ground. And of course, there'll be no time for a real debate or, God forbid, a congressional authorization when that is indeed confirmed. And of course, we'll all be along for the ride as this humanitarian war is sold to us by public relations firms using emotional drivel and heart-rending propaganda, just like the contrived Balkans War was sold under Bill Clinton with the aid of fake concentration camps, and just like the first Gulf War was sold under Bush Senior with the aid of a manufactured story about Iraqis throwing Q80 babies out of incubators. And just watch as the so-called liberals vehemently get in line to parrot the teleprompter reading Barry Satoro, the man who campaigned on change and peace, yet now has more troops deployed than at any time under Bush, the man who aggressively expanded the Predator drone strikes that continue to kill scores of innocent people every month. So just sit by and watch as the likes of Media Matters and Think Progress, the two premier neoliberal propaganda whores for the Obama White House, keep it well and truly zipped. And that segues into our second topic that I wanted to cover today, which is new media versus old media. Because habitually, Media Matters and Think Progress, you know, put out 5-page articles listing the statements made on this show as if that alone somehow discredits us. They don't even try to point out why what we're saying is wrong, because they still live under the delusion that they're fooling anyone other than their own sycophantic neoliberal audience. And there's another Media Matters hit piece out today relating to the Bill O'Reilly clip, which we'll go on to discuss shortly if the studio could queue up Bill O'Reilly. And basically, Media Matters has jumped on this as a bandwagon to attack both Fox News and Alex Jones. Habitually, as I said, they put out 5-page smears listing statements made on this show as if merely repeating them alone it somehow debunks them. And of course, Media Matters will fail to list the statements that directly prove that they're nothing more than a water carrier for the Obama White House. Media Matters is funded by the billionaire globalist George Soros, the same man who just this week incited the next US military industrial complex overthrow of a sovereign government by targeting Iran for, quote, the bloodiest of revolutions. George Soros, the man who funds Media Matters, targeting Iran for the bloodiest of revolutions. And of course, Media Matters is behind the Progressive Media Campaign, which was launched in 2008, the goal of which, in their own words, is to become a, quote, war room for promoting the foreign and domestic policies of Barack Obama. And these are the same people who claim they are non-partisan. They claim they're a legitimate media organization. Of course, Media Matters was started by John Podesta and the Center for American Progress. The Center for American Progress, its own director, Jennifer Palmieri, admits is about, quote, driving the White House's message and agenda. Oh, again, let's see Media Matters include those statements in their next hit piece, seeing as they're so obsessed with virulently attacking us. I think perhaps it might be something to do with the fact that PrisonPlanet.com alone gets twice the amount of traffic compared to MediaMatters.org, according to Alexa.com. And indeed, Infowars.com gets around four times the amount of visitors compared to MediaMatters.org. But you won't see them including that statement in their next hit piece. The fact that in total we get about six times more traffic than them, because we actually try to go after the truth rather than admittingly being water carriers for the Obama White House. The very organization that started Media Matters and their own campaign, the 2008 Progressive Media Campaign, is admittedly about driving the White House's message and agenda. And they've got the nerve to tell their readers that they're nonpartisan while George Soros quietly slips them another $1 million. How about you include that statement in your next hit piece, Media Matters? And you can say what you like about Alex Jones or InfoWars, but at least we're funded by our own listeners. You know, there's no billionaire globalist buttering our bread. And the new media is about the power of the grassroots getting beyond the left-right hoax to point out that the true architecture of control, and of course, In pointing out who controls that power system, we get called Jew-hating extremist radical terrorists by media organizations such as Media Matters and the SPLC, while simultaneously they can't seem to grasp the fact that they no longer have the power to dictate reality. Because as I just said, despite the fact that we're not funded by billionaire globalists, we still dwarf them in terms of size, readership and influence, which is pretty amazing if you think about it, because when I visited Alex's office in 2005, about coming up to six years ago, there was basically one lady doing customer service, there were two guys running InfoWars, and another one, no, in fact there was only one guy running InfoWars at the time, and another one was doing video editing, and that was it. Apart from myself, that was the entire organization. And in fact, back in those days, Alex didn't even have a radio producer. He had to do it himself because there were literally about four employees. Now, granted, the organization has grown moderately in the past 5 or 6 years, but I mean, we've got nothing like the kind of resources enjoyed by these old media dinosaurs with their globalist billions networks like MSNBC funded by General Electric. And yet still, Infowars.com gets more readers than MSNBC.com, despite the fact that it's David versus Goliath. We're still beating the crap out of them, and that's why they're so petrified of our growing influence, because we're completely seizing control of their ability to dictate reality. Just as Hillary Clinton said this week in front of a panel on Capitol Hill, organizations that cover, quote, real news, not left-right sideshows, in other words, the new media, are now winning the information war, and they're losing. And she cited Russia Today, which of course routinely gives a platform to the likes of Alex Jones, Webster Tarpley, Paul Craig Roberts, Wayne Madsen, Max Kaiser. And this is a news organization that's growing in leaps and bounds, which is why indeed they were targeted, Russia Today, when they tried to put advertisements up in US airports that merely encouraged people to think about both sides of a story. Oh no, can't have that. These posters were immediately torn down, and that's what I'm talking about. They're petrified about the new media seizing their ability to dictate reality. And we're going to get to this Bill O'Reilly clip after the break, and we're going to talk more about old media versus new media on The Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
This is Paul Joseph Watson, editor and writer for PrisonPlanet.com, filling in for Alex Jones, who is sick. Hopefully, he'll be back tomorrow. We're going to take some of your calls a little later in the hour. The calling number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're talking about old media versus new media. And another example of the old media flailing in their desperate attempt to stay relevant with Bill O'Reilly of Fox News. Play the clip.
Bill has selected The View, and Charlie Sheen has a friend in the media, some guy on the radio. We don't really know who he is. But he goes on The View, and this is what happens.
We got the TSA putting their hand down people's pants. Infowars.com covers it all. We've got the banks bankrupting the U.S.
Wait. Let's stick with Charlie, because that's way too much for me.
No, Charlie is mad because he's held up as all the problems. He didn't steal $23.7 trillion.
Just here to figure out what is happening with Charlie. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Oh, they've been comparing him to Gaddafi.
Look, I was just saying, I don't think I've
compared
heard
George
anybody.
Bush, a million dead Iraqis, to Gaddafi.
I think we were here to talk about Charlie Sheen.
I don't know if that was the best booking choice.
The real achievement here, Bill, is that this guy made the women on The View seem sane.
No, here's a real achievement. They didn't walk off with that guy.
Yeah, they walked off when you were there, but they actually tolerated him. The other thing is, this guy thinks America is a police state, yet he has a radio program. He is allowed to say whatever he wants. They can never actually...
But this is why it's so dumb. Now, what did the ladies think they were going to get when they invite a guy like this in? I mean, he took the show over. He did exactly what he wanted, and that was it.
He gave me a headache. He gave them a headache.
Well, whatever.
I don't know why they booked the guy.
All right, dumbest thing of the week.
So there you have it. Quote, some guy on the radio, we really don't know who he is. Now, of course, Bill O'Reilly knows exactly who Alex Jones is. But again, the old media are so scared of us that they dare not even mention Alex's name. Well, Bill, if you were still in the dark as to who Alex Jones is, that's the guy who's completely creaming you in attracting listeners and readers. That's the guy who just, one of his websites is 43,000 places above your website on Alexa.com. I mean... this is truly pathetic. BillO'Reilly.com, his flagship website, is numbered 45,000 on Alexa compared to Infowars.com, which is at around 2,000. Okay? The lower the rank, the more visitors to your website. I mean, 45,000, that's awful. There are bloggers with little websites who write one article a day about the truth, God forbid, and they're blowing O'Reilly away in terms of readership. I mean, just one guy who decides to start writing an article a day in his spare time about the economic collapse, for example, the economiccollapseblog.com, and almost instantly, he's creaming Fox News's biggest talking head. One guy. There's probably little old ladies who write about cooking that get more readers than Bill O'Reilly. I mean, this is a guy who's lost two-thirds of his geriatric TV audience, probably because most of them have croaked it in the last few years alone. And yet, he's got the nerve to pretend he doesn't even know who Alex Jones is. Well, that's the guy, Bill O, who every time he's on CNN and all these other networks is invited to appear on Fox News, but then gets cancelled when certain talking heads at Fox News throw hissy fits, which is exactly what happened with Alex a week ago. Again, quote, some guy on the radio, we really don't know who he is. Maybe it's the guy who Rolling Stone magazine just did a 6-page spread about, including one article which documented how Fox News as Glenn Beck tries to stay relevant by stealing Alex Jones's material. And I'm afraid, below, the numbers don't lie. While you're hemorrhaging viewers to your TV show and visitors to your pathetic website, again, 45,000 on Alexa, our ratings are exploding. You know, in a few years' time, Bill O'Reilly might be referred to as some guy on the TV, were it not for the fact that he's got this hilarious YouTube meltdown, which of course tells us everything we need to know about his putrid personality and the way he treats people. But again, it's another example of old media. Now, there's smart old media and there's dumb old media. And the likes of O'Reilly and Media Matters are just plain dumb, and their haughtiness will spell their downfall because they refuse to adapt. They still live under this delusion that they've got millions and millions of viewers that believe what they say, when in fact they're losing viewers every single year. Then you've got the likes of Glenn Beck, who understands that to maintain his audience, he needs to put on sheep's clothing and rebrand himself as the new alternative, a true patriot, by basically copying Alex Jones's material to remain relevant. That's old media posing as new media, hijacking new media to stay in the game. But the interesting thing about this Bill O'Reilly clip, and his other guest says that, well, if we're living in a police state, why is Alex Jones able to say what he likes? Well, you can still live a police state, you can still live in a police state and have the tacit freedom to express your dissatisfaction. Doesn't mean that there aren't TSA radiation vans rolling down the high street and the highways. Doesn't mean there aren't swarms of TSA goons in train stations frisking 9-year-olds just because Alex Jones is allowed to talk about it. But again, the thing about this Bill O'Reilly clip is the fact that after it came out, Media Matters, from the left side of the fake paradigm, then writes an article about it. And again, Media Matters, I dare you to address the statements made about how you yourselves admit that you're nothing more than a propaganda whore for the Obama White House. Media Matters writes an article on this, attempting to smear Fox News, because Andrew Napolitano had Jones appear on his Fox Business show. And wait for it, Alex Jones talks about 9/11 truth. Oh my God, yes, he actually commits the thought crime. He commits the thought crime of agreeing with 6 of the 10 9/11 commissioners. So we've got Media Matters with their publicly stated agenda to drive home Obama's propaganda. This is their own people saying this. They admit to it, and then they claim they're non-partisan. Media Matters ring-fencing the mere thought of saying 9/11 didn't happen perfectly as the government said it did, which is what Napolitano said, ring-fencing it as a thought crime. We'll be back to discuss it more, and we'll also take your calls. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Stay tuned. PrisonPlanet.tv. Hello. Sunday, March the 6th, it's the Alex Jones Show live. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, filling in for Alex. We'll be going to your calls shortly. The number is 877-789-2539. We'll be going to Henry in Canada and Ty in New York. But we have Alex Jones calling in to discuss this Bill O'Reilly clip and the big smear attempt, tag team, faux left-right attack on InfoWars between Fox News and Media Matters. Alex, what do you think about the fact that Bill O'Reilly claims he's never heard of you or what you do, when in fact you're completely creaming him on Alexa? Infowars.com is 43,000 places higher in the rankings than BillO'Reilly.com.
Well, to be clear, some of the biggest newspapers in the country aren't as big as Infowars.com. It's rated in the U.S. about 400. just to give people an idea of how huge it is, and it's growing exponentially. But we don't normally get into these media wars. And, of course, I've got a stomach bug, so I'm out today. I appreciate you filling in, Paul, but I feel better, so I'm calling in. I just want to point out that I'm glad. I mean, I'm sad that he's lying and that when he lied, they all laughed about it. But I'm glad that when the White House a month ago put out a press release attacking our story about carbon taxes and the shutdown of power plants being associated with the blackouts during the cold weather, I'm glad that they didn't give me credit in there. They just said, oh, an unreputable source, even though we all know it was Drudge linking to us, and that the Heritage Foundation and then the major Texas Power Authority came out and said that I was correct days later. I'm glad. They're so scared of me that they just said, a source so evil that we won't even link to them. And it's the same thing with Bill O'Reilly. It's the same thing with all these people. They're so scared of us that he would disdain his dwindling audience of about 1.5 million people. It was 5 million, you know, 6-7 years ago. That he would sit there and lie to them and tell them we don't know who this guy is when they're playing a clip of me from The View. But I mean, here's the issue. It almost discredits me to go on The View. It discredits me. Ib O'Reilly did endorse me. Politico, last year when they were trying to destroy Rand Paul, the mainstream media was, in a Senate race, said, well, what can bring down Rand Paul? And I said, one thing, if the mainstream media endorses him, attack him, his approval ratings will go up. And that actually happened. Bill Clinton went to campaign against him, and he gained about 6 points in a week. The more lies they put out, the higher he went. You guys are discredited. You're a joke. And that's the bottom line, and that's why all over the place they dare not speak our name, they dare not talk about us. Forget just internet numbers. Forget having the number one podcast with over 400,000 every day. Forget being number one on Shoutcast with over 300,000 tuning into live streams a day. Forget the fact that we're on over 80 AM and FM stations now. Bill O'Reilly had to leave talk radio because the audience was too smart for him. The guy only had a few million listeners when he left. We're up to 4 million a week now. We are the underdog coming from behind, climbing up the mountain, towards the enemy emplacements in the info war, and we're going to defeat them. And it's that simple. So I love it. I absolutely love it when they sit there and try to act like they're the grand gatekeepers and they decide what their listeners can hear and see. And, you know, it's the old folks that warned people about the New World Order decades ago. But it is true that most of his audience, you know, is nearing the grave. Most of Fox News' audience is nearing the grave. And we're out there reaching out to the young people, and that's why they're so scared. There's a lot of older folks out there that know more about this than, you know, somebody who's 37 like myself or 28 like yourself, Paul. It's just that they are hating their audience. They are disdainful. They constantly lie. Here's one more example. I've seen Fox News. I've seen all the major channels. When Ron Paul, 2 years in a row, won the straw poll. In fact, the guys could cue it up for the next segment if you want. And they had to apologize when we pointed it out a month ago, or 3.5 weeks ago. We pointed it out at Infowars.com. They weren't going to apologize. 2 days later, they were forced to. They took booing and basically dubbed it over Ron Paul to make it look like he was booed when he was not booed when he won the straw poll. They took another year, last year, where he bit Mitt Romney again. This time he beat him by even more. And they stuck a microphone right with the Mitt Romney crowd and had them boo last year. This year, they got caught trying to do it, so it got shut down. So they just aired the old tape of Ron Paul being booed last year. And since then, I listen to talk radio. I listen to talk radio news. I listen to Fox News on the radio. I listen to all of it. And you never hear them talk about Ron Paul even being a contender when he's in first or second poll in Gallup. You name it. This is why they have no audience, because they don't care. They work for the big military-industrial banking complex that took this country over, Paul. And it's their job to suppress us while the banks steal $28 trillion, Bloomberg reported, and gut this country while they put their Obama EAS emergency kill switches on all the radio and TV, as they announce he's going to start cutting into the media broadcast, as they put 9,000 telescreens in Walmarts saying, spy on your neighbors. If this isn't a police state, what is? As the TSA, as we told you a decade ago, or 9 years ago, rolls out on the streets of America, strip-searching children on the side of the highway. This is the federal Gestapo force, as three different senators, Jay Rockefeller, and others call for, quote, ending the Internet as we know it, as they call for an end to free speech on talk radio with the Fairness Doctrine being reinstituted, as they call for FCC regulation of the web and restricting access to our websites, as the White House regulations are, Cass Sunstein openly comes out, Paul, and says arrest people that don't believe in man-made global warming or that 9/11 is an inside job. I mean, this is crazy. These people are tyrants. America, this is tyranny. If you don't recognize that foreign banks have taken our country over and own the dinosaur media, and if you don't realize that there is a desperate gambit by these people, the dinosaur dying media and the government that's being exposed, to come together and put in the Internet kill switch and start restricting our free speech, you better understand that it's your pocketbook, your pension fund, that's going to be the target once they shut the media down. This is real. It was in the Ottawa Sun and Associated Press 2 weeks ago that, oh, they did sign a North American Union SPP agreement. In fact, Paul, pull it up and read it later. That said they're going to have foreign troops patrol America to, quote, deal with American protesters. Foreign troops training to come and take your guns. I've been to the drills. The point is now they're announcing it to you all over the news. Watson, we're in a fight for the Republic. You're in a fight for England. We're in a fight for every free country. And if people recognize it and realize the incredible historical position we're in, we can win this thing. So I'm glad that I'm the person they dare not speak my name, because they know we have the light of liberty in our hearts and minds, and we're setting bushfires everywhere. God bless you, Paul Watson.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And yeah, but what's even more dangerous and disconcerting than Fox News and Bill O'Reilly is the fact that Media Matters, the admitted White House propaganda front group, their own founders admit that's what they are, piggybacked onto this Bill O'Reilly smear and are now using it to ring fence what they define as thought crime. Again, using 9/11 and saying it's basically a thought crime, using ideological fascism as a tool with which to attack anyone who associates with Fox News, which, of course, their primary target is somebody who is basically a libertarian, Andrew Napolitano. And now in this Media Matters hit piece, they imply that Napolitano is wrong because he agrees with Jones that Obama wants to start a wider global war to expand the empire. Again, according to them, that's another thought crime. Even as the Predator drone strikes accelerate under Obama, even as special forces invade Libya, and even as George Soros, the billionaire globalist who funds Media Matters to the tune of millions of dollars, calls for the Iranian government to be toppled in, quote, the bloodiest of revolutions. So, you know, when I watch Bill O'Reilly smear Alex Jones, I don't really get that angry. He's old media. He's rapidly losing his influence. He's rapidly becoming irrelevant, and he doesn't really try to hide the fact that he's becoming irrelevant, but it's the fact that Media Matters hide their propaganda behind this bluster of being non-partisan, you know, legitimate, grassroots, progressive, and do it in a manner as if they're some righteous organization standing up against hateful extremists. When in fact, they're funded directly by a dirty globalist who is inciting bloodshed in Iran. And their own stated purpose, which they admit to, is to drive home the Obama White House's message and agenda. Let's see if Media Matters, in their next hit piece, will address those statements. We'll be back with your calls on The Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March 6th edition. Don't go away. PrisonPlanet.tv.
This is our land. These are our people, the workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Paul Joseph Watson filling in for Alex Jones on this Sunday, March the 6th edition of the Alex Jones Show. We're talking about old media versus new media in light of this Bill O'Reilly smear attack on Alex Jones. And, of course, Media Matters hijacking it, piggybacking on it, to launch their own smear against Alex Jones. And since Media Matters is so keen on identifying thought crimes, which if you merely mention them makes you an extremist in their eyes, will it now become a thought crime to point out that Media Matters and the group that owns it themselves admit that they are not a genuine independent media organisation and that they're nothing more than an overly abused whore for the Obama White House? I mean, to claim that Media Matters is a legitimate media outfit is like claiming that the White House press office is an independent media outfit. I mean, Media Matters is state media. It's a government front. They're no better than Chinese state media. And in fact, they're worse, because at least Chinese state media doesn't pretend to be anything else. I mean, the Obama White House is the pimp, and the likes of Media Matters and Think Progress are the whores. That's why they're constantly attackers. They're obsessed with it. And if we're so irrelevant, as Bill O'Reilly makes out, then why attack us at all? First they ignore you, then they attack you, then you win. And judging by the Alexa numbers in comparison with both Bill O'Reilly and Media Matters, there's no doubt that we are winning. Henry in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead, Henry.
Paul, AJ, Infowars.com. Setting brush fires in the minds of men.
That's right. What's on your mind today?
I'd be careful about saying that, though, because George Soros might get the wrong idea. I think you were talking about arson.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're the extremists. It's like Media Matters with the Poplawski smear, which every other independent publication had to retract. Indeed, mainstream publications did. And Media Matters failed to do so completely. What's on your mind, Henry?
I just wanted to say cheerio, mate, and to leave a message of resistance from Canada, just to say that we're doing banner hangs, we're handing out DVDs, I woke up a quarter of my high school, we're spray painting roads, we're having an effect.
Good to hear it, and we've seen innumerable excellent videos for the V for Victory contest. People getting out there, and we've had reports from basically every major country in the world of people seeing these V for Victory banners. And of course, it's all about letting the power elite know that there is a resistance, and letting, I mean, DHS and Homeland Security and Janet Napolitano see fit to stick their messages up in Walmart and Super Bowl and everywhere else, so why shouldn't we? And it's about making them know that we're here and making everyone realize that, you know, they're not isolated in this fight, in the info war. Thanks for the call, Henry. Ty in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead, Ty.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for having my call. I think when you talk about these groups, you know, again, Media Matters, Fox News, like you said many times here, these are just propaganda outlets. So the fact that they're not mentioning what's going on, you know, that's part of what they do. They create a reality. They don't observe or really report truth. And I think that's why they are failing, because they have websites and, as you say, they have resources. But no one wants to hear it, you know, in the sense that, you know, people gravitate away from the lies and the way that they're controlling language. I mean, you know, these are the people that have given us the term humanitarian warfare. I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's not like it's me saying that Media Matters is a Obama White House propaganda front. They admit it. They're proud of it. And then in the next breath, they say they're non-partisan. If you go on sourcewatch.org and type in Media Matters, all the quotes from the people who founded their organization, the likes of Jennifer Palmieri and John Podesta and the Center for American Progress, they admit that their mission is to carry the domestic and foreign policy agenda of the Obama White House. So they're proud of the fact. And, you know, we see it now with them obsessively attacking us. And then George Soros calls for bloody revolution in Iran. And then they attack us for saying that Obama wants to expand the empire. So the hypocrisy is unrelenting. Anything else on your mind, Ty?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to Libya, I mean, I'm not surprised about the SAS there at all. I'm sure there's a lot of special forces activity from the U.S. Just has to be a fact, even if it's just recon. And the fact remains that, you know, I don't know if they're, I mean, they're with the rebels or they're captured by the rebels. You know, if they're being held by rebels, are they not with Gaddafi? I mean, you know, where are the loyalties lying here? I mean, the whole thing's just so ambiguous. I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that specifically, or, you know, I mean, I just think this whole thing, and I have, and again, one quick other point is, I've seen some footage, but it just doesn't seem to be covered. I mean, you hear, but you don't see. Egypt was just 24/7, you know, you can see everything. Here, I don't see much. So the whole thing just seems rather ambiguous.
Well, the thing about the SAS soldiers, they've apparently been detained by rebels, and the explanation is that some of these rebels do not want any kind of foreign intervention because they fear that Gaddafi will seize upon that as evidence that there's a Western military intervention, which will then allow him to rally the rest of the population around patriotic fervor. So there's some truth in that, but the fact is we reported last week that the SAS, the special forces, were going in. They went in on the 22nd and the 23rd into Benghazi. And at the same time, there was this whole media debate about should we send in troops for humanitarian aid? And they were already in the country for a week. And humanitarian aid is certainly becomes more pressing when it involves a country that has the largest oil reserves on the entire continent of Africa. Thanks for the call, Ty. We're going to go to John in Missouri. You're on the air, John. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot. I want to say I woke up a short time ago, but ever since then I've been working hard. The first thing I want to say to people out there, Americans and everybody globally, but specifically for the Americans, I have to say one thing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Every American, I challenge you to say this to yourself. Look into the mirror and ask yourself, is the republic gone or is it leaving us? We pledge, we made a pledge to the American flag, my people, everyone. We pledge it in our schools. We've done this for the beginning of America's start. Now, this was put in place for a reason. I know you're thinking, because I used to think a lot, what can I do? I'm just one person. When I found out the truth, it was so overwhelming. But this is what I say to you, American people. This is what I say to you. Say the Pledge of Allegiance to yourself. Act. Act, act. Organize nonviolence. Organize nonviolence. And we're going to start by going down to the Federal Reserve. And that's how we're going to get it done. If you agree with me, have any type of ideas, Liberty Justice for All 69@yahoo.com. That's Liberty Justice for All 69@yahoo.com.
Okay, thanks for the call. Certainly, nobody pledged an allegiance to the US military industrial complex, but that's what's leading America. That's what's now standing in the place of America as we go forward. And certainly when Hillary Clinton bemoaned the fact that the United States was losing the information war, she certainly didn't mean the United States that was founded by the founding fathers. She means the US military industrial complex. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, March the 6th edition. Hopefully, Alex will be back in the hot seat tomorrow.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, it's a big religious holiday here in the United States, and it's been exported around the world. And I'm committing a form of sacrilege on this holy day of the Super Bowl. I'm here actually talking about what's happening in the world and how our constitutional republic and our hard-won liberties are being circumvented and eroded and basically decimated. We are live. It is the holy day of the 6th of February, 2011, when the two tribal champions are set to face each other in an hour and a half in global warming ravaged Dallas, where the hospitals don't have power off and on, but the Cowboys Stadium, the religious temple, does. The religious temple of distraction and diversion from real issues. Hey, we're going into a depression. Our children have no future, but we get to have pat downs by the TSA. Oh, that's right. They're there running things. And we get to be spied on, and the army is involved as we're bathed in tyranny. What's good for third world police states? What's good for fictitious 1984s? Why, it's good for America. And we're going to be going over all of that today. Homeland Security Secretary inspects. She's our Reichsfuhrer. The borders are wide open, but she inspects to make sure we're safe. Aren't we glad that Mr. Napolitano, like Mr. Maddow, are there to inspect us and train us to have government put their hands down our pants to protect us from the evil terrorist? We're so lucky they're there to protect the foreign banks stealing tens of trillions, and not just our children's birthright, but our futures. She's there inserting herself at the publicity trough like the fat, demonic government hog that she is. They're training us to not trust anyone but the government, the last group in the world we should be trusting. Homeland Security Secretary inspects Super Bowl site, says fans have shared responsibility. It's a responsibility to spy on each other and watch each other because of our CIA boogeymen hiding in every jack-in-the-box. Here in the homeland, continuing big sis in the NFL turned Super Bowl into police state. We've got some of her announcements coming up. And here's the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the 100,000-plus minions paying hundreds of dollars apiece to get in and watch a bunch of people engage in simulated combat. They get to have the government grab their genitals, and their children will be grabbed, of course, and be baptized into humiliation and third-world tyranny and learn how to be loaded onto the FEMA trucks and taken to that facility as the government trains the military for that. TSA will keep an eye on the Super Bowl for everyone's safety. CNN reported this first in 2009, and it's a three-year tradition. They're now doing it yet again here. So, obviously, today we are going to be covering this report for you and going over it because I saw some other reports here talking about what a great American pastime it is that Americans don't have jobs anymore and that the Steelers don't have steel mills anymore, but that people give pints of blood to get the money they need to. They give their blood all year and save up the money to be able to go to the game. They have no country. They have no industry. They have no Bill of Rights and Constitution. But CNN says, you know what? They can go feel pride through the overpaid steroid heads on the field, that when they're not gangbanging or fighting dogs to death or running around cussing on national TV, they're there keeping us safe. So it's just wonderful. Of course, there's nothing wrong with a football game, and I admire, obviously, athletes. But things have swung too far the other way on the pendulum, and we need to realize that we need to have some priorities here on this religious holiday. Now, I haven't gotten to the really big news yet, but I will get to that. I never thought I'd see the White House on their front page respond to a PrisonPlanet.com article, but they've done just that. We'll tell you about it straight ahead.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, I am committing blasphemy today for many Americans. I'm doing a live radio broadcast during the holiest day of the year. We don't really find God to be holy or important anymore, or the family, or our test scores, or our health, or our Bill of Rights and Constitution, or our dollar. It's all in decline, a usurped, captured country taken over by the foreign offshore central banks. But we've got our Super Bowl that roughly 70 million Americans are going to tune into today. And kickoff is in an hour and 25 minutes in the global warming ravaged Cowboys Stadium, with collapsing tents from snow and hospitals not having power. But believe me, the holy temple, the taxpayer paid for temple to Jerry Jones, it is standing there. And Homeland Security in 9,000 locations, putting in telescreens, ordering you to spy on your neighbors, on other shoppers. People are paranoidly calling the police at Walmart, where they're putting these in, repeatedly for having cell phones, talking on them. We're learning that land of the free, home of the brave, means being more Soviet than East Germany, being more 1984 than Big Brother. Fort Worth Telegram is reporting the TSA is running things, not just airports. So they've announced nationwide warrantless checkpoints. They have you and your family drive under super high-powered X-ray scanners. Well, in fact, I have a news clip on that. They don't worry about the TSA workers being fried by the radiation, doing it daily, or the citizens driving under it. The government waves a magic wand, just like they did 20 years ago, telling U.S. troops you can now use depleted uranium munitions. The Army's own reports on it admit that you get one whiff of it, it will reduce your life expectancy by about a third. But hey, what's a young 20-year-old breathing it, dying when he's 45 instead of 75? Hey, it's freedom. Hey, having TSA-trained goons stick their hands down your five-year-old's pants at the Super Bowl, that's freedom. That's freedom to keep you safe from the vicious Al-Qaeda. And so I will be getting into the Super Bowl religion today, and I will commit the ultimate sacrilege, the ultimate abomination of evil. I will actually talk about what really made this country great, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And the fact that that's been eroded by design. And I will talk about the dollar devaluation and the attacks on liberty in our country. During the last 30 minutes of the broadcast today, I may even commit a bigger abomination and read the Bill of Rights and Constitution, or parts of it, on air during this holy day, where we know all about the football scores, and you try to go to the store and pay for gas or go to the grocery store, everybody wants to talk to you about the big game. But if you bring up to them loss of sovereignty or dollar devaluation or hyperinflation or the police state being set up with the Patriot Act, they look at you like you're a crazy man. That's right. Well, I'm a crazy man. You see, I actually care about liberty and freedom. And see, a lot of people think that liberty and freedom is like some nebulous thing, that it's only activists that care about it. Well, when you've had freedom so long, it's almost like our country doesn't have an autoimmune system. Here's a parallel or a parable based in history. 500 years ago, roughly, when Europeans showed up in the New World, Native Americans, or the indigenous populations, had never come in contact with smallpox. And so what would only kill a fraction of Europeans that came in contact with it, because they developed immunity over generations, or those that were susceptible had died, those that weren't susceptible had passed on their genes. When the Europeans arrived, millions, it's estimated, of natives from what is South America, Central America, Mexico, and, of course, further north into North America, all the way up into Alaska with the Inuit Eskimos. millions and millions died because they'd never experienced smallpox. And that's kind of what Americans are like. We've never really experienced hardcore tyranny. We've had the incredible birthright that our forebears fought and died for. And so now hardcore, systematic, admitted prima facie tyranny and corruption is here. And a lot of people are getting a little concerned and waking up, but they still don't know how serious it is. And so tyranny is so alien, hardcore, systematic Nazi or Soviet-style oppression is so alien that now that it's clearly manifesting itself and transcending political parties, it's the bureaucracy and the ruling political class that's the problem. You know, the parties are just different chapters of the same organism, that we are in deep, deep trouble. Let me give you an example of tyranny. You see, if you have an all-powerful government that can do whatever it wants, so there's no Bill of Rights, no Constitution, no separation of powers, and you have an executive that can do whatever they want, it doesn't matter if Congress didn't pass the Kyoto UN Protocol last year or the last five times before that they tried to ratify it, going back into the early 2000s. But now under tyranny, the president can just order the EPA to go around the country, and he's done it in the last 2 years, shutting off power plants in Kansas, South Dakota, Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas, and many other states. And then, have you noticed all over the country, your power prices have gone up? Mine have roughly doubled in the last 2 years in Austin, and Austin Energy admits that that's part of their target to cut carbon, is charging you more money. Of course, those are privately owned companies that they're involved with, and they're making big profits. And it did come out this week that Obama is putting even more greenhouse gas tax limits and controls on plants, except for General Electric, which is the biggest builder of the coal-powered plants in this country and worldwide. They get a waiver on the plants they build and the plants that they own. Do you think when folks want to invest now, they're going to invest with General Electric? Total mafia. And it has nothing to do with the rising seas and, oh my gosh, carbon dioxide is going to kill us. It has everything to do with selective enforcement, just like I've talked a lot about. And, of course, who's the new head of the economic board that makes all these decisions? The former head of General Electric is now the head of Obama's administration when it comes to economic situations. And, of course, you have seen the 500-plus waivers and counting given out to major global corporations. They don't have to get health insurance, but your company does. Another unfair trade advantage. See, Obama's not a liberal. He's not a conservative. He's not a communist. No, he is a corporate front man there to make you think there's a difference between the two major parties so that we'll all fight with each other and, like a football game, choose what party we're part of. And so basically the parties can act like they're fighting with each other but move the ball down the field against we, the people. And so now if you wonder why your apartment bill on average was $200 and now it's $400 on average, or you wonder why your house bill was $500 on average is now $1,200. Well, understand, that's because they've shut down power plants all over the country, and they've restricted plants from increasing their power output or expanding. Big mega corporations have bought up smaller city-owned utilities like the old Holly Street in Austin that could supply about half the city and shut it down, automatically making their profits go up because there's less energy. You know, Hugo Chavez, they have more oil than the U.S. Per capita, per square mile. They have more coal, but they don't have power half the time. He does that because it's how he controls the population. And that's why we've had rolling blackouts all over the country. And that's not just my opinion. The Heritage Foundation has done an analysis concurring and sourcing our report. Anti-energy agenda could cause more rolling blackouts. Now, here's the big news of the day. We're going to get into this when we come back from the break. Last night, I was on one of my Facebook accounts, just checking it for any news tips, and I saw a link at the top, White House. You can't believe everything you read. And the White House communications director, Dan Pfeiffer, attacked our story from Thursday that Fox, Drudge, and Limbaugh all covered on Friday and said basically we're liars, that Obama didn't cause the blackouts. We're going to talk about that. Oh, yeah. Never thought I'd live to see it. The White House now responding to PrisonPlanet.com.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We measure how much national television covers what we're doing and how many newspapers report on what we're doing as another indicator of how much success we're having. And every week, the Drudge Report links to us, or the New York Times or Newsweek blurbs what we're doing, and basically attacks us in those cases. George Soros' own media outlets like Media Matters attack us almost on a daily basis. And it shows the big effect we're having. A year ago, it came out in major newspapers that I am on the top 30 White House enemies list as number 29. And that's because I oppose the policies of this treasonous administration. And I've made a 15-minute video that's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com where I lay out the evidence of treason. When they put economic policies in place to ship our jobs to China and to fund China building 3 to 5 coal plants a week, but we can't have 3 new ones a year, attacking our very energy infrastructure is treason. And when only allowing insiders who finance presidential runs of people like Obama to operate power plants in the country, that's another form of mafia-style tyranny. But Thursday, Paul Watson and I wrote an article, Obama Blocking of New Power Plants Triggers Nationwide Blackouts. And Obama triggers blackouts became the number one Google search term on Thursday into Friday. Fox News picked it up. The Drudge Report picked it up. Rush Limbaugh covered the story. And then on Friday, Media Matters, the George Soros-funded group, ran the headline, Fox turns to 9/11 truther and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones for content. And, of course, Soros basically is one of the biggest backers of Obama, and many of his minions actually are in cabinet positions in the White House. What I didn't notice until I was alerted to it yesterday afternoon is that on the front page of WhiteHouse.gov, and it's still on the front page, Saturday it was still at the top. It's moved to the bottom left-hand corner of WhiteHouse.gov. There it is. White House Communications Director press release, You Can't Believe Everything You Read by Dan Pfeiffer, the White House Communications Director. They go on to say, you can't believe everything you read. Really, Obama said he wouldn't have signing statements and has signed more per capita than Bush or Clinton or any other president. Obama promised to not have banker fat cats in his administration. He's got the biggest group of banker fat cats of anybody we've ever seen. He promised to balance the budget. He spent more than all presidents before him combined. I mean, everybody knows Obama's been a big liar. A big liar across the board. To try to chronicle those makes my head spin, but you can think of a lot of the lies yourself. But you can't believe everything you read. What a headline they've got here. And I'm going to go ahead and read over some of this article, and then I'm going to get into our rebuttal that Paul Watson and I put together last night. White House attacks PrisonPlanet.com report on blackouts. And this thing is so well-sourced, so documented, and doubly proves everything that we documented in our original article from Thursday. Obama's blocking of new power plants triggers nationwide blackouts. Furious hospitals hit with outages while post-industrial collapse of America accelerates. But going over this White House front page press release, and is the media, the lapdog media, going to challenge Obama on this? Because this breaks every rule of journalism right here. As valuable as the internet can be in helping to spread information, most people know that you can't believe everything you read. Yeah, especially how do you know when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. This is the same White House with their regulations are. Cass Sunstein on record putting out policy papers saying arrest people that question man-made global warming. He's on record. So they want the kill switch. Oh, they really know how valuable the internet is. Every line is spin and deception. So it'll take a while to go over this press release. I'm sorry. Every line is a fraud. as valuable as the internet can be in helping spread information, most people know that if you can't believe everything you read, and they should check the source before relying and relaying every alarming story they read. But here's the problem. They then don't give a link to the source they're trying to discredit. They don't even tell you who it is, Alex Jones, via Matt Drudge, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News. So right there they say, we love the internet, when they're actually trying to take over the free web on record. Then they go on and say you should check the source, but they don't give you the source. I'm about to get to that. See, every line is a deception. I mean, did the devil write this? Literally, everything in here is a lie. All 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs. Every line is a lie. Some lines of this have multiple lies per line. How do you counter something like this? Well, we have in the article by Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson, but I'm going to get to that in a moment. Continuing, you can't believe everything you read. I think that's the only true statement in here. As valuable as the internet can be in helping spread information, most people know that you can't believe everything you read, and they should check the source before relying and relaying every alarming story they read. One such story is going around the internet over the past 2 days, claiming that the Obama administration is somehow responsible for the rolling blackouts in Texas. By the way, they're all over the country, from California to Arizona. Our article says that, by the way. So that's another lie. It's not just Texas. That have caused terrible hardship for so many Texans. I guess that's a little vein of truth there, too, that has caused hardship. The source is questionable, and the story is unquestionably false. But they do not give a source. They do not give a source. They do not. They just got done in the line before saying you've got to check the sources. In our article, every line has links to mainstream and government admissions. But with them, they don't give any links but one to the Houston Chronicle. According to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, these blackouts were actually the result of extreme cold temperatures and high winds, which led to a variety of mechanical failures at more than 50 plants around the state. Let's stop right there. That's another giant, huge, stinking straw man. What's a straw man? They don't attack what we really said. They build a lie. Our article obviously says the cold weather taxed the power plants, and because we haven't built enough of them, we've had outages. And then we link to all the white paper and think tank reports stating that we're in a power deficit compared to China and others for our basic industrial needs, not to mention just general. So see the bait and switch there. Talking to you like your five-year-old children, saying, oh, this unreputable source that we're not going to let you link to so you can make up your own mind and actually read, this unreputable source, just trust us, we're not going to put a link to them or even say who they are. They're saying that, and I noticed that was their counter in Media Matters, George Soros, their counter in a whole bunch of other newspapers that did attack us by name as the surrogates of the White House. They said Jones and the other lunatic writers said Obama flipped a switch and turned the power off when everyone knows it was cold weather. No, we said cold weather hit, and because we haven't built enough power plants, that there were huge power outages all over the country. Then they only say we said it was in Texas. I'm going to continue here. But see, this is the type of deception, the trained liars that we're dealing with. We're going to go over these lies one by one. Then I'm getting into the Super Bowl where they're sticking their hands down people's pants. PrisonPlanet.com reports on blackouts. Again, White House attacks, PrisonPlanet.com report on blackouts. So did Media Matters, George Soros outfit. And they just tell lie after lie in this piece we're going through here. Anytime communities experience major outages, It is a cause for concern, and major utilities and regulators are investigating steps that can be taken to decrease any weather-related vulnerability of power-generating plants in the state. Unlike their northern counterparts, which experience extreme cold every winter and often are not designed to withstand such rare weather conditions. So they go on to claim that we're having power outages, by the way, from, again, New York to California, because they don't experience regular cold. And they're implying that we're only talking about Texas here, when it's Texas that's supplying much of Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, and surrounding states power, biggest power producer in the country. I mean, we have the clips of Obama saying that he wants to bankrupt coal plants, that you can build one, but they're going to put carbon taxes on you so high that it's going to bankrupt you. In fact, do we have that clip? Let's go ahead and roll that clip now. It's only 13 seconds for folks. Here it is.
Use coal without emitting greenhouse gases and carbon. And, you know, how can we sequester that carbon and capture it? If we can't, then, you know, we're going to still be working on alternatives. But let me sort of describe my overall policy. I mean, what I've said is that we would put a cap and trade system in place that is more, that is as aggressive, if not more aggressive, than anybody else's out there. I was the first to call for 100% auction on the cap and trade system, which means that every unit of carbon or greenhouse gas that was emitted would be charged to the polluter. That will create a market in which whatever technologies are out there that are being presented, whatever power plants that are being built, that they would have to meet the rigors of that market and the ratcheted down caps that are placed, imposed every year. So if somebody wants to build a coal-powered plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted. That will also generate billions of dollars that we can invest in solar, wind, biodiesel.
By the way, solar supplies 1% of the United States, and I looked up the Fed's admitted numbers. It costs 10 times as much money for every megawatt of wind power that you get compared to coal. Then they go on and lie and say that coal is incredibly toxic. I'm going to play a 3-minute news piece coming up the next segment where they go from the beginning to the end of the steps with coal and document that all that comes out of the smokestack is water vapor and carbon dioxide. Nothing else comes out. That's why they're saying they want to tax carbon now. With regulations that were reasonable in the last 50 years, they've made our coal almost completely perfectly clean. And even if we're going to move to something new, you're not going to do this overnight. And so the White House, and not just Obama, but Biden and others, are on record saying that they want to bankrupt coal. Now, continuing with the White House trying to counter our report, some are trying to blame these blackouts, which the industry has already provided explanation for. Well, of course, the industry said it was the cold weather that caused them not to be able to meet demand. That's the point, is that we haven't built enough plants and our prices have gone way up because they haven't built more plants. And only selective insiders like GE get to build new plants, so they get all the profits. See, it's all deception. Some are trying to blame these blackouts, which the industry has already provided explanation for, on the Clean Air Act standards under consideration to curb dangerous pollution. That's the new ratcheting up of the Kyoto Protocol that Congress hasn't passed. So here's another deception. They go on to say, well, we haven't implemented this yet. Yeah, because Texas is suing you. You tried to implement it last year. It's set to go into implementation next month, and the feds have taken over the Texas power plants that supply the surrounding five states with much of their power. So again, it's another deception here, claiming that they haven't put any of these new restrictions in yet. Obama took the already regulations that were in place and used those, and we have an article countering this, and the article that we originally wrote shows all the examples. Headline, Obama EPA shuts down South Dakota plant. Obama EPA shuts down Georgia plant. Obama EPA shuts down Texas plant. Obama EPA denies permit to new plant. Obama EPA moves to block new Corpus Christi power plant. On and on and on. Our article is big and beefy and thick and long and filled with links. There's nothing in Obama's article. They're just shoveling you lies. Some are trying to blame these blackouts, which the industry has already provided explanation for, on the Clean Air Act standards under consideration to curb dangerous pollution, including carbon pollution. Oh, to curb dangerous pollution, including carbon pollution, which is carbon dioxide that humans exhale, that plants breathe, that plants live off of. While these claims gain traction on the internet, there is a major problem with this theory. No power plant in Texas has yet been required to do anything to control carbon pollution. They're calling carbon dioxide. See, because nothing's coming out of them now but water vapor and carbon dioxide. And they know that the general public knows that water isn't bad, so they pick the other thing coming out of them and call it carbon pollution. Yeah, carbon dioxide. In December, the EPA announced that it intended to update important Clean Air Act standards for decades have decreased harmful pollution and protected public health. In the coming months, the EPA will work closely with key stakeholders, including industry, that means GE, who's exempt, to develop a common sense standards for currently unchecked dangerous carbon pollution. And then when you read closer what they're talking about, that's carbon dioxide. But the average person reading this goes, oh, well, they're trying to save me from pollution. Any standard which will leverage existing technologies and only apply to the largest polluters will not be proposed until later this year, allowing an extensive public comment period. And following that additional input, no final rule is scheduled to be in place until late 2012. They're already implementing all this stuff for 2 years. We've got countless links to mainstream news where they've been shutting them down. More lies. Despite these modest steps, you just heard Obama say he wants the most draconian of any country, a 50% cut. You just heard the president say he wants to bankrupt them. You just heard them say he wants the most draconian. I got clips of Biden, by the way, in our article saying you're not going to be allowed to have a plan. But here they are lying, saying we just want some modest, reasonable. Come on. Despite these modest steps, many continue to mischaracterize this process, making unsubstantiated claims about the impact that this will have on everything from industry to energy prices. Energy prices are way up. No one denies that. The most recent effort simply underscores a willingness to ignore the facts, they presented none here, to further an agenda that seeks to stop the EPA from sensible updates to the Clean Air Act. No, it's the Kyoto Protocol Treaty that you couldn't get rammed through, that you couldn't get passed, that the Congress wouldn't pass, and so now they're having congressional hearings about it. The state of Texas and others are suing you, just like the Health Care Act is being ruled unconstitutional. And Obama's giving hundreds of waivers to his friends like McDonald's, and then Whataburger or Burger King don't get waivers, and their prices have to go up, and they got to buy insurance, but McDonald's doesn't. It's the same thing here. In fact, if we can pull up that headline, it was in the AP, it was also in the Washington Examiner. Obama gives GE exemption on new clean air rules, but no one else gets these exemptions. This is what we're talking about. This is unfair, this is wrong, and it's for insiders to make giant profits. The former head of GE that lobbied for all of this just 2 years ago is now the head of the President's Economic Council. Talk about conflict of interest. And by the way, it's not just us saying this. After we reported on it, and they linked our story, the Heritage Foundation concurred. There's the headline. Obama issues global warming rules in January, exempts GE power plants in February. Stay with us. We're going to break it all down.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network. We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live. It's Sunday, the 6th day of February, 2011. Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to be talking about the police state at the Super Bowl, the latest developments in Egypt, and a lot more coming up in the next hour. But the bottom line here is, look at how weak the White House is. Look at how scared they are of PrisonPlanet.com. Yes, PrisonPlanet.com, according to Alexa ratings and Google Analytics, does get more visitors than MSNBC.com. They're afraid of the alternative media. They're afraid of talk radio, which is why they're openly moving to censor and attack free speech and put the fairness doctrine back into place. Read our article that got the White House so upset and then compare it to the White House's response, which we just chronicled the lies in. White House attacks PrisonPlanet.com report on blackouts, our original article picked up by Fox News. They just took our story and directly linked to it. Obama's blocking of new power plants triggers nationwide blackouts. But they put a question mark on the end of it. And again, our article was about nationwide. You saw it last week from California to New York. Power outages all over the place because they've cut back so much. Now, for the insiders that are still allowed to operate, they make bigger profits, and that's great. But we become like Venezuela. You know why Ceausescu fell in 89? Because he controlled the only power plants in the country and used it to become a billionaire and build big palaces. And the Romanians, it's on even CIA fact book, they admit, rebelled mainly over the rolling blackouts that they were so sick of. So another sign of authoritarianism. Now, the biggest lie in their report isn't that they didn't link to us so people could see what we actually said, or that we said it was just a Texas issue, or to imply that we didn't say it was originally triggered by the cold weather, but that, again, we couldn't respond because of lack of power plants. It's where they keep saying horrible carbon pollution. Now, I have family who have been engineers. One of them's retired now and worked in both oil refineries and coal power plants. And I've seen them over the years get so angry when they hear reports about dirty coal. There are federally mandated sensors in the stacks. If anything but carbon dioxide and water comes out, alarms go off. They have to shunt all the smoke into a holding area and basically turn the power plant off. They're not allowed to release any. The federal government has Cessnas that fly above every major plant every day with their own sensors. And so I thought I would play for you, just to illustrate this lie, a piece that was done with the officials of the Chesterfield plant outside Richmond, Virginia. Now, this is the modern type of plant that by federal mandate, and that's reasonable, has been in place for at least the last 30 years. There are no coal-powered plants out there that are not scrubbing the exhaust, okay? So I'm going to play this clip right now. It goes through a giant catalytic converter. Then it goes through all these other scrubbers, and nothing comes out but carbon dioxide and water vapor. So the feds are saying, we're going to say that carbon dioxide's bad and restrict it. So the power companies say, okay, we'll start shunting it into old wellheads. We'll put it underground. They say, no, you're not allowed to do that. And so your prices are going up, and now it's going to get worse. Obama's other big lie is claiming that they haven't put anything new in place in the last 2 years and that nothing's changed. That's another lie. We have countless links in our article responding and our original article to mainstream news headline, Obama's EPA shuts down this power plant, that power plant. 13 power plants shut down in Pennsylvania. 7 shut down in Texas. You know, I mean, it goes on and on. But they're counting on you being ignorant. But it shows the power of the alternative media. And it shows that the crooks in Washington are just men like us. They're not invincible. And responding to them with the truth is having an effect, to the point of where the WhiteHouse.gov on its front page in the last 2 days has been responding to the story we put out that was then picked up by newspapers nationwide. And major think tanks like Heritage Foundation and others concurred with our analysis. We gave facts, they gave lies. Now, here's a short clip breaking down the process. The video is posted in our article, responding to it. If you're a radio listener and want to see the video, not just hear the audio, it's posted in the article, White House attacks PrisonPlanet.com, reports on blackouts at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Here's that clip.
Now, this plant burns about a train load of coal per day, which is about 100 train cars. Each train car holds about 100 tons. It's about 10,000 tons of coal per day.
This is the whole process from start to finish.
Chesterfield Power Station consists of 4 coal units and 2 gas-fired units. The coal units operate very simply. We take coal, comes in coal cars each day, and we crush it up, running on conveyor belts into the plant.
And most of
and
it's domestic.
And then it goes to another stage where it's crushed into very fine powder like talcum powder.
This is energy independence.
At that point, it's blown by large fans into the furnace where it combusts and makes heat. That heat energy is transferred through tubes into water on the other side and boils that water into steam. That steam then runs large steam turbines that run a shaft that turns a generator that then makes electricity that's delivered to our customers.
Right. That's the actual coal dust blowing into the flame. Very, even though this looks like a little dark shade.
But if anybody's allowed to set these up.
Our Chesterfield Power Station, as we have at most of our power stations,
they
we have devices
profit.
Within the furnace that help reduce our nitrous oxide production. Nitrous oxide is a component that ultimately can become smog in the atmosphere. So we like to reduce that right at the furnace. We use low nitrous oxide burners and overfired air to reduce it in the boiler itself. Once the gas comes out of the boiler, on three of the four units here, we have devices called selective catalytic reduction devices. And that's like the catalytic converter on your car. It takes the nitrous oxide that's produced in the furnace when you combust air and coal and separates out the nitrous oxide back into nitrogen and oxygen, which is available in the air as we breathe it today. So it basically puts it back the way it was before it went through the combustion process. Once the flue gas comes out of that, it goes through a device to remove particulate matter, either electrostatic precipitator, which is like electrostatic air cleaner in your home.
That's a dry scrubber.
Or it goes through a baghouse. A baghouse is very similar to the bag you might have on your vacuum cleaner at home. The air goes through, any particulate matter gets stuck in the bag. And we periodically empty those bags out and clean them and replace them. The last step is a scrubber or a flue gas desulfurization device. That removes the sulfur dioxide and the mercury from the flue gas. And the way they work is quite simple. We take limestone and grind it up into a fine powder, mix it with water to create a slurry, and then spray that into the flue stream. The flue gas goes through this limestone mixture and chemically creates a chemical which becomes gypsum. It's the same stuff that's used in wallboards. In fact, this facility will supply gypsum to a local wallboard manufacturer to recycle the material into wallboard for people to use in their homes. And once you do that, the mercury and the sulfur dioxide comes out of the flue gas. What you see go up the stack has moisture in it and no more sulfur dioxide or mercury.
All right. None. There are sensors on it. They're not allowed to release any. It's water vapor and carbon dioxide that plants breathe. And I've seen major university studies where just the surrounding plants and trees and grass around a coal-powered plant grow faster or healthier. You can just pull up studies, show increased carbon dioxide makes plants healthier and grow faster, increased crop yields. In fact, the Earth has had, well, just in the last 100,000 years, 14 times higher carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than it has now. We're in a carbon-starved position. The life cycle on our planet is carbon dioxide, oxygen, water, and sunlight. You've got to have those four basic ingredients. And so the White House keeps talking about carbon pollution. But to sum it all up, if you have a true free market and cities, counties, private interest, build power plants, that's competitive supply and demand. It drives down prices massively. Massively drives down prices. But if you're insiders and you can get globalists in place all over the world, not just here, they can use governments to shut down all the smaller plants or plants that aren't insiders. They won't get the waivers. They can't release carbon dioxide, but then General Electric and a handful of others, they do. Meanwhile, a bunch of plants have been built by globalists on the U.S.-Mexico border, on the Mexican side, where there is no controls. They actually put the mercury right into the air. Then that blows across, but they can do it cheaper and then supply the U.S. and make even bigger profits. So they use regulations to shut down their competition. Now, coming back in the next hour, shifting gears, the TSA is there running it in Dallas, up there at Cowboy Stadiums. They are sticking their hands down people's pants. They are doing the pat-downs. This is part of the slave training of America. We're going to go over the police state as well, get into what's happening in Egypt and a lot more on the other side. But did you ever think you'd see it where WhiteHouse.gov responding to us with a tissue of lies and propaganda, and it shows they're on the defensive and the info war is having huge effects. So I salute everybody that helped get that story out. Let's get our counter story out as well right now. It's at InfoWars.com. Second hour coming up.